Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Before that, the crime rate in Dublin's southwest inner city is more than twice the national average. And we're talking about, you know, the Grand Canal area, Clonbrassil Street, Kilmainham, Inchicore, the Liberties and Dolphins Barn. Labour councillor for the locality, Dara Moriarty, is with me on the line today. Dara, why has there been such a jump?
Andrea, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, look, I suppose we're reacting today to the findings of an incredibly stark report, which is looking at the social and economic analysis of the area, and it has found a number of really startling findings across crime, drug-related deaths, the lack of progression from secondary school and the third level, the complete lack of sporting amenities in the area. Crime, I suppose, is a byproduct of a number of those other indicators. You know, it breeds in poverty-stricken communities, and unfortunately, the southwest inner city has its fair share, and that means it's a very difficult place to grow up. I grew up there myself. I grew up in Dolphins Barn, and now I'm privileged to represent the area that I grew up in and continue to live in. And I suppose what this report really highlights is years, decades of neglect from successive governments. And I suppose its main call to action is to highlight the issues. And I think in many ways, Andrea, it is to actually depoliticise this as an issue. It's actually to look at the lives that people are unfortunately having to live
just
in that community.
Yeah.
And it's not the whole community, to be fair, Andrea.
Of course
I think
not,
you know, most of your listeners will be familiar with Dublin Ace. They know the Guinness Storehouse. They know the Liberties. Mm. They know Inchicore, Kilmainham. And side by side, you have very comfortable communities living right next to people living in deep deprivation, deep poverty. And it's that mix of people which makes Dublin Lake great. It makes it a brilliant place to be because you've got that diversity and mix of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But right beside people, you have people living in really difficult circumstances. And that neglect, that lack of investment for years is what makes that happen. And unless we have a huge amount of targeted investment into our community, we're never going to break those cycles. We're never going to break down those barriers and mean that more people from those disadvantaged areas can get on in their lives, can knock down the life of crime and go into third level education and other trades.
You know the area better than anyone. So, Dara, I mean, as you said yourself, you're from the area, you're representing the people from the locality as well. The impact of that higher deprivation that you're talking about and the kind of the lower educational attainment, what does that look like day to day in the locality?
Well, I think that the point I just made is very mixed. Like, if you walk from one street to the next, like, the reality on those two streets can be so different. And I think, you know, gentrification is a huge part to play in that. And that has had really positives for the area. But also, what I think that has done in recent decades, it has glossed over some of that deprivation. People maybe don't think of Dublin Ace as disadvantaged as perhaps it used to be, because we have the shiny luxury student accommodation, the unaffordable built to rent, the lovely hotels, the tourists walking the streets around the stores. Maybe people don't think that Dublin Ace is actually as disadvantaged as it is. And this isn't about, Andrea, really, really crucially, it's not about pointing fingers at other areas and saying they're getting all this and we're not. But I think there's been a glossing over and maybe a forgetfulness in the halls of power of the actual deprivation that's lived every single day. You know, we've heard different people out this morning talking about the impact, school principals talking about what it's like to have kids come to school having just had their home potentially raided by Gardaí or having a serious crime incident having happened in their flat complex the night before. And then they have to get on with showing a huge amount of care just to get that person to settle down and be ready for the school day ahead, let alone trying to actually teach them English, Irish, maths, geography and everything else. So that is the impact. And that can be happening, you know, in a classroom all over the southwest inner city. And right beside that, you could have a student or a pupil from a different background who isn't living that every single day, who lives two streets over. So, you know, that's the reality of Dublin Aid, everything. Doesn't see a different world. So that's the challenge for me as a representative for the area.
Well, it's a challenge for everybody in government. It's not any one, you know, political party is going to be able to address this. As you've said, hasn't been the case over two and three decades. Ronnie is on the line. Stay with us, Dara. 1800-453-106 is the number. So, Ronnie, you currently run the St. Catherine's Boxing Club, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of in the area for a number of years now at this stage. Can you just paint the picture, you know, for listeners today to give them a little bit of an insight into what it's like?
Well, you're fighting a battle all the time trying to get resources. That's the biggest thing. Like I've found, I'm involved since 1980. So for the last 40 odd 50 years, you're constantly going to look for resources into the area, and everything seems to be dragged out. If you go for one resource, it'll probably take you about 12 years. That's 12 years of going to meetings and trying to convince the people that have the poor strengths to open it up and do something. So, I mean, that takes a lot of energy for community activists. Never mind that else. Like, I've been involved in two projects over the last lot of years, each of them taking around 12, 13 years for them to come round to agreeing to it. You know, so that's a lot of waste of time for community activists trying to get the area up and running a little bit better.
What do you need? Like, there's somebody that's, you know, dealing with people in the local catchment and the community. What sort of injection of, you know, investment or money or resources would actually really help, Ronnie?
I think less red tape involved with the government agencies, to be fair, really, because that's where our biggest problem has been over the years. As a community activist, you spot something that's a potential to enhance the area. You go to the local authority, which is your first important call, or your politicians. But as I said, it takes 12 years of arguing to actually get anywhere. You know, and that's only if you're lucky. There's a lot of people fall by the wayside, and that sucks all the resources of people who are voluntary all the time. They're wanting to give their time. And if you want to give your time, but you're being met by opposition, by people, and you wouldn't mind if there was a clear indication as to why it was being pushed back, you know, but there's no clear strategy as to how to help people within the community that are voluntary, how to help them make things better within their area.
And you're giving your time, I'm sure, like many others involved at St. Catherine's, Ronnie, over the last 40 years. Like, so there's just too much red tape, really, for community activists to actually be able to do anything.
Yeah, when you go talking to anybody to start off a project, as I said, it's 10 or 12 years. So who can hang around 10 or 12 years when you see what the issue is now? And I don't mean that the government should be able to react instantly, but like 10 or 12 years is a bit ridiculous for each time people go arguing for it, you know?
There's a text from a listener who says, I'm from the Clonbrassil Street area of Dublin, born and raised. The local authority allowed the building of hotels all around the Liberties area and student accommodation. No social housing, no playing recreational areas for sports clubs, and now are even restricting parking permits for locals. D8 was always ignored, so it's no wonder to see these sad and shocking figures today on crime, says this listener. What about you, James? You grew up in the locality as well. Are you surprised to hear this report today?
No, I mean, people like myself, I mean, I grew up in Fatima Mansions flats, so it's one of the, you know, real pockets of deprivation in the area. And I think these statistics really just accord with what we already know in our hearts and souls from living in the area. I mean, from the lack of sporting facilities to the fact that, you know, my own grandmother was mugged on her way back from bingo and had her face beaten into a railing by someone who was probably feeding a drug habit. And the solutions to these things aren't rocket science. Like, the solutions to these things are, you know, quite common all across the world. If you invest in an area, if you give people sporting facilities, like, for example, the man there that was speaking from the boxing club.
Yeah.
Like, it's shown that if kids get involved, young people, teens, particularly from a deprived background, get involved in boxing or football or sport, it gives them discipline. It gives them a headspace where they can actually deal with some of the trauma that they've had to deal with growing up. Because that's one of the things, is that when people grow up in deprivation, they're listening to parents arguing over bills, they're hearing constant stress and strain from early childhood. They're dealing with that stress and strain all the time. It makes people very mentally unstable. Mm-hmm. And actually, they do need extra support, and there has to be extra investment to help those people even get to college, because sometimes they don't even have the confidence to apply in the first place. So, it's not rocket science how to solve those things. But I mean, one other point I wanted to make, though, is that in the 1960s, there was a Dáil debate about closing down all the prisons because the economy was booming, there was full employment, there was stable communities, high unionisation rates, you know, working class people felt confident, and the government had a debate in the Dáil about closing down the prisons. Well, unimaginable that they'd have that debate now. But like, what's the difference between the 1960s and now? Well, I mean, the economy collapsed in the 70s and areas like Fatima Mansions were completely neglected. Maintenance was pulled out. They pulled out the caretakers. The government reduced the threshold for social housing to make, intentionally to make social housing into kind of ghettoised welfare housing so they could demonise social housing and push people towards the private market. So actually what we're seeing now is the devastating consequences of decades of economic policy, you know, what you'd call neoliberal policy or Thatcherite policy, but that's having its consequences now.
So you're not surprised to hear this today?
Yeah. So youth workers in the area have been complaining about this, but also I know Dara Moriarty from Labour is from the area, but like, we've been having protests over the last few weeks in the area over the fact that Dublin City Council has raised the rents on some of the poorest tenants in the area. So Labour and the Greens joined with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to vote through those rent hikes. And I think it's a bit...
I don't have Dara there, but that is a talk, it's something for another day perhaps. Perhaps James, we might come back to on that. I want to bring this text as well. I live in the city centre at the moment. If you provide all of these sporting amenities or parks, should they just end up vandalised, littered and used as a meet-up place for people to drink and use drugs? These areas don't take pride or value in some of the recreational areas they live in. I think a change in attitude as well as funding is required. Shane is on the line. Shane, what's your reaction to that text?
Well, they seem to be throwing stones from far away. They don't seem to really know what goes on in the area. I grew up in Dublin 8, like the guy that just talked there. I'm originally from across the road from Fatima Mansions. I'm from James's Walk there. For a few years there, I was like, for years I grew up there close. Recently, the last 2 years, I've only moved down. I only moved up to Dublin 12, so another probably what people say a disadvantaged area. But when I was growing up, look, the community was always, you always had your issues, which you didn't really see as issues because that's all you knew when you were growing up. You only knew what was going on around you. And it's only when you grow up and move out of the area, and I went to Australia for a while and I travelled a little bit, and then you realise, oh, maybe we are not being treated fairly compared to other places around around the city.
What do you think might make a difference? You know, like when you hear Ronnie talking about the work that the likes of St. Catherine's Boxing Club have been doing in the region for 40 years, and, you know, like, is it more amenities and recreational, you know, spaces or centres or areas? Yeah. Will that really help?
So, for example, when I was growing up, the only pitch we had to play on was a concrete pitch in Fine Man Mansions. There was no grass pitches. The only other pitch was across the road where the Lewis line is now. That was a green space. Where the new apartments are, there was an old creche there that was tarmacked for the young children to play in. That's where we used to play. If we needed to make a swing, we'd tie a rope to a tree and put a cushion on the bottom of it and swing around the tree. That was the only type of playgrounds we could ever make, was the ones we made ourselves. Now they have an astro turf. I think it was laid probably 15 years ago now. Yeah. They're at the F2 centre. That, if you walk in now, I play football and I coach football up in Larkview, up in Dublin 12, and you can see the facilities up there. It's privately, but that has to be relayed every 4 or 5 years. You can see the AstroTurf over in Fatima, or what used to be Fatima, is now there 15 years. Naturally, people probably come from outside the area and see that, oh, they disrespected the AstroTurf, it's all torn up. Naturally, over 15 years, AstroTurf is going to be torn up.
It's a fair point,
There is a sports fund there that the government put out about 3 years ago that clubs, football and Gaelic clubs could apply for. This Astro is probably only the size of a 5-side Astro. It wouldn't cost, I think they're putting out grants now for 300,000 to get Astros relayed. You could easily throw 100,000, not even 50,000 maybe, to get this 5-side Astro relayed.
Make a big difference.
But that, like, little things like that. Like, I originally played football. It was up at Sur Road. There's a roundabout, and that's where we grew up playing football. It was on the roundabout of Sur Road. So that was literally the nearest grass pitches we used to have. But in terms of a playground, now they have invested in the playground across the road from where Fatima Lewis up is. So it is good to see some stuff coming in, but it does need to improve.
It's an interesting point, Shane. And you know, like even a lot of the texters, you know, kind of highlighting something similar as well today. Well, certainly the vast majority just talking about the benefit of more recreational facilities. You know, having those kind of resources there in localities for people to kind of divert their attention to, and even just, I mean, in terms of something to do, as people talk, by way of recreational sports after school as well. More supports in areas. We're talking about Dublin 8, the Dublin 8 catchment really today. We're looking at the likes of the Grand Canal, Clanbrassil Street, the Liberties, Dolphins Barn, Rialto, Island Bridge, Kilmainham and Chicor. If you're in any of these areas, we want to know what would help. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We'll leave it there for the moment though. That is Shane James Ronnie, Labour Councillor as well, Dara Moriarty. It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.